Support for NPR podcasts comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals and institutions reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.
Welcome to Press Start, a podcast on the art and culture of video games. I'm Kyle Orland.
And I'm Ralph Cooper, and today we're going to talk about, and hopefully show you, one of the greatest Christmas presents neither Kyle or I will ever receive. We're here today visiting, I'll call him an inventor and a really smart dude. Today we're talking with Alex Markson.
Hey guys, how you doing?
All right, and we're sitting in front of Alex's birthday present for his brother, which is actually a MAME console.
The Duck Brothers. Custom built in 2007 by Alex Markson for Ash and Olsen.
That has how many different systems in it?
Nintendo, NES, Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64. It's got a Sega Master System, Genesis, 32X, CD, Dreamcast. It's got a... It has all the old pinball games on a 3D physics simulation engine, and it emulates the scoreboards and the effects.
How many games all told?
15,000 or something like that.
What we're looking at here is an old school, almost, I'd say, Neo Geo style console with four different joysticks.
These are inductive joysticks. They have like a magnet. They're like a Wacom kind of, like a tablet. And then in software, they remap them. Because a lot of times you have problems. Different systems expect different things. And, you know, it's like a lot of people traditionally, they use a switch-based controller. Like, they have something that has, you know, just the switches, and then they'll use a keyboard encoder. Primarily, the cabinet starts, you know, with MAME. Everybody's like, oh, I want to build a MAME cabinet because I want to play an emulator. I want it to be like an arcade game, you know, da-da-da-da-da. But, I mean, people have been kind of moving into other stuff, like the console emulators. You know, that starts to be a thing where you're like, well, I got this arcade cabinet, but what if I could play all my console games on? That's when things get a little more complicated, like how you set things up. You know, like the control panel is always like the big area of focus with the machine. People like spend all their time trying to figure out, like, oh, am I going to put this joystick here? Am I going to do this? I'm going to have 14 trackballs. And like,
the thing that I notice and I like about yours is each joystick has about 7 lights next to it. And depending on which system he may be playing, whether it's the Neo Geo, the Dreamcast, even the console games, the lights correspond to the system and they change depending on which system you have. Like, even right now, it's just running a little light show, which I swear is easily one of the trippiest things you'll ever see in daylight. Now, why did you create this?
You know what? It's just like your fantasy. It's just, you can't think of anything more like Nirvana-like as a child than having unlimited quarters in the arcade and all the Nintendo games. Like, you're like, okay, game over. I won. It's awesome. Life is, you know, is good from here on out.
How'd you get into the whole hacking scene? When did you start building your own things and getting into, like, making your own hardware?
I've been kind of like a tinkerer, computer hacker, little guy since I was in school, you know, maybe like sixth grade, something like that. I had like a 286 and I started writing software. Like, I started getting really interested in the intersection of physical things and mechanical things and electronic things, and trying to see, like, that, how you create human experience using, you know, a lot of different mediums and trying to make them work harmoniously and trying to balance different skill sets where you're like, yeah, I can fabricate this, I can make this kind of mechanism, I can wire this, I can do this software, but, you know, at the end of the day, like, how do you end up with something more than a collection of hacks? How can it feel like some kind of fluid thing, something you'd expect someone to create as an end product, to be able to hand to someone, and then have that degree of usability where they're like, they can actually see what it is and use it and enjoy it, and you don't have to be there and, like, kind of, you know, to control it and all that. But just also the whole, you know, you have all these different mediums of sound and the way something looks and the way it feels when you use it and all that stuff. I find all that stuff really interesting.
It took some pretty intense knowledge to be able to put all this together. This isn't something the average Joe could do in there.
Anybody could do this. You know, I mean, there's different levels. This thing, if you're talking specifically about building arcade machines, MAME cabinets, emulator cabinets, stuff like that, like, there's different levels you can kind of pick to be involved. I mean, there's obviously people who sell prefab systems. You know, people buy those, and then at that point, you're left, like, trying to figure out what software you're going to put on and how you're going to set up, you know.
But hold up, Alex. Let's be honest, all right? Anybody can do things, but this is not something anybody can do. Like,
it's a different level.
Yeah, this is a very high level of what this is. I mean, even we're speaking, we're looking at G.I. Joe, the video game, on the screen. I can't tell you when the last time I saw this. And it looks like the screen. Did you tell me about some of the internal specs on this and try and put it?
Tell you what this thing is.
Yeah, try and do that and try and do it. Try if you can to do it and explain it to, like, you know, the non nerds of us, because the nerd guys here, we're definitely nerds. I got. All right, hold on. Give us the non nerd version quickly if you can.
So what this one is? Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is an NFL Blitz cabinet, of empty one. The sides and the thing are from an NFL Blitz for, you know, $90. Terrific, right? And then basically inside there's a PC, and then connected to the PC is a control panel. The control panel is the big giant box. You know, we put all our controls in there. We have a trackball. Computer thinks it's a mouse. We have a spinner like Arkanoid. Computer thinks it's a mouse. We have a set of keys across the top, and they do things like put quarters in or change the volume. Computer thinks that is a keyboard. And then we have these four joysticks here, and then wired to each of the joysticks is a set of seven buttons. The computer thinks that's joystick 1, 2, 3, and 4. It knows those as regular game pads, like something you plug in, USB, no big deal. And then, you know, you have a speaker system, which is, you know, and this machine, it's a, you know, it's based on a Klipsch computer speaker system. It's kind of has some Frankenstein elements to it. And then the sub is mounted inside the cabinet. And then there's a marquee. You know, you got to get your marquee printed, and then you put a light behind it. And I have a white LED light behind it, and it's wired into the PC power supply. And then it's also wired into the original arcade switch. You can toggle it off if it's, you know, if you want to not have it lit up for whatever reason.
Who did the marquee printing?
This guy, emdk.net, you know, printed the marquee, printed it just on a piece of kind of, I think it's like a vinyl, and then you just put it in between two pieces of plexi or glass or whatever, and you put a light behind it. It's not a big deal.
How long does it take to put together something like this?
Some people spend like a couple years, you know. Some people spend like a, you know, like maybe a weekend or two. You know?
Okay. So the question is, how long did it take you to do this?
Around 2 months. Pretty intense. Like, you know, on the weekend, I'm doing this. I'm either working at any given time, you know, whether I'm at work or here. But, you know, if not, I'm doing this. You know what I mean?
Beats watching TV.
Yeah. I mean, I like to have some kind of thing, some challenge, you know, something to create, you know. I'd rather do that than like, you know, watch TV or, you know, maybe even sometimes do my laundry or something. But, you know.
Now, you made this for your brother, right?
Yeah.
How old is your brother?
So he's like 26.
Thing is, with something like this, let's talk about your machine here and the legacy that is kind of holding up here.
Well, I mean, I feel like this thing, I kind of look at it sort of like a museum. You know, it's like I try to have the complete, you know, game sets from the different systems, but then I like to have, along with them, I like to have the video snapshot so that when you go over the game, you see the gameplay, or at least a regular snapshot. But then, in addition to that, having the boxes and the cartridge scans for the console games, and then in the arcade, having photographs of the cabinet, the control panel, the original flyer they sent to vendors, you know, all that stuff, just so you look through it and you can see, oh, yeah, you know, like, this is what this was like, I remember that. And then, you know, and then, of course, the buttons, trying to do the buttons so that, like, on all the arcade games, it'll actually light the buttons in the original color of the original game. So, you know, if you're playing, like, 1942, you get a red button and a white button. If you play Street Fighter, you get that, you know, that red, yellow, blue, you know, all six. And then, you know, but then people know how to use it, too, but that's also trying to recreate it.
So is this kind of the future of arcades, you think? Hobbyists making their own cabinet at home instead of going out and having the social experience there?
Well, I mean, unless we get more of those guys, like those guys in Portland, what is it, Ground Control or, you know, those kind of places. I mean, there's not really a lot of options. What are you going to do? You can go to, like, you know, your local movie theater or, like, rest stop, and they're going to have, like, you know, Time Crisis and, like, you know, whatever that, the Cruisin' USA. It's like, come on, you know?
Where's the light gun on this thing?
It's over here.
The guitar controller hookups, too, for Guitar Hero.
Yeah. You got the two Guitar Hero controllers. You got to have those.
Emulated games. PC games.
In fact, we listened to PC him play games. Guitar Hero. Not
launching game.
Guitar Hero 3.
Now, Alex, this might be an intrusive question, but how much do you think, how much does this whole thing together probably run you?
Well, it's not going to necessarily run, you know, me a whole ton, you know, because, I mean, my gift is, you know, the labor. So, I mean, so you can something of this order of magnitude, you know, is generally going to start at $3,000. Depending on what you want to do, because there's a lot of different options. I mean, you can put together a machine almost for free. It's basically standard arcade controls, just the base stuff, are like, really dirt cheap. I mean, you're paying, like, I don't even know, for a set of buttons, like, a couple bucks, you know? And then, like, the joystick, you can buy one for, like, 10 or 15 if you really want a cheap one. And then you wire them up to a keyboard encoder. If you're a real hacker and you don't want to spend any money, you can take apart a keyboard and wire to the, you know, but then you have all these weird issues and you have to put like diodes and do all this stuff to keep it from hitting two keys at the same time, ghosting, and you know. But that's how the guy started. They started with like these just hacked up systems and they're like, you know, let's try an experiment, take an old TV, do this, all this is pretty cool. Then as they get into it more, they're like, all right, we need a purpose-built device for this. We need an optical encoder for the wheel. We need a, you know, a keyboard encoder for the keys. We need to, oh, let's try a real arcade monitor. How can we get a real arcade monitor to work with a PC? Oh, it needs 15 kilohertz, you know, on the refresh. Like, let's do this. And
there's a whole community out there building software for this stuff. How much did their work, you know, help you?
A really big thing for me was the front-end software, Game X. You know, I like what these guys are doing. Like, this guy Tom Spears is writing it, and this whole community of people, and, like, these guys, you know. There's like Head Case and Pimp Daddy Stew and all these other people on the forums, and they just, I mean, what's cool about this community is people like to share like their stuff that they got, like they're really into it. People aren't trying to really, you know, hold it. Nobody's like, you know, oh, this is mine, I'm not gonna give it to you, you know. And usually they give you source for a lot of stuff. Sometimes people don't want to give source. I don't know, you know, whatever. But you know, and it's so sad about the emulation community is if people don't release the source code to emulators and then they die. And they say, I don't want to work on this project anymore. I had my fun. I feel my sense of accomplishment and fulfillment. It emulates, like, X percentage of the games. Great. I didn't even think I could do that. That was crazy. I'm done. Thanks. See you guys later. And it's like, okay, so why are we using an emulator that was written, like, a Windows 95, and we're, like, trying to hack stuff to make it compatible or do this? And it's sad, because then you're like, what's going to happen? Like, is somebody else going to recode an emulator for the system later on when, like, we're not running, you know, some x86 compatible Windows anymore? Like, how does that work?
So do you plan on doing something like this again, man? Or, like, let's say we had a listener out there who wanted to contact you over creating something like this.
When do we get our copy?
Yeah, we definitely need, like, you know.
I have another Blitz cabinet. I bought two of them. So it was, you know, and they were each $90. And it's the same cabinet, so I could theoretically recreate the same build, and then I would clone the hard drive. A lot of the times, just the software. I mean, I'd say my time primarily is the software, and after doing the hardware side once, I feel like the second time I could just, you know, very, very programmatically just go through it like a surgical kind of exercise, especially if I used an arcade monitor, you know, because the TV thing, it's terrific, you know, it's fun, it's great using a TV, you know. But, you know, getting a TV, taking it apart, making sure you don't kill yourself on the flyback, like all that stuff, and then like, you know, trying to fabricate little mounts and brackets and drill holes and line the thing up and be like, I think I like this, you know. And all the arcade monitor, at least you just kind of, it's got the mounts, since it's already an old cabinet, you just stick it in there and then plug it in. That would make it a little easier, you know.
Do you need like a workshop full of tools for this, or is it just like?
A lot of people build bar tops because they don't have this. You know, a full-size cabinet is kind of daunting, you know, if you don't have space. But if you buy a cabinet kit, you know, like one of these guys like Name Room or one of those guys who sell like the Ultimate Arcade 2, it's like a flagship box, I think, and then it just comes and you put it together and it's ready to go and you put stuff in it. It's not that big. It's got shelves and you set the TV on a shelf or set the whatever. You can do it that way.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to let you know that my birthday is January 4th. Now, Alex, last question for you, brother. Anybody in particular that you wanted to give any credit to for helping you build this? I know you've mentioned a couple of people who helped you out here, but you know, just on the last gasp here, anybody in particular?
I mean, I'd like to give some shout outs, you know, to, first of all, Paul, you know, as he's, you know, my longtime friend and coworker, and he was the maintainer of the Xbox port of Maine. So, He did an amazing job. Like, he had some stuff, and he's like, you know what, I'm going to make a MAME cabinet. And then it's like, I don't even know if he did it in like a weekend or two, but he's just like, bam, here you go. Here's a MAME cabinet. How you doing? And he had it like all set up. He had the X arcade controls because they had like
they sent him one. They're like, yo, check this out. Can you make sure it works on your Xbox MAME? And da da da. And he's like, well, I got an old TV and I got a computer. You know, playing on that, I was kind of like, this is terrific. And I had a Street Fighter tournament at his house with my brother. And it was like, you know, it was like being a kid again. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, you want one of those things? We got to get you one of those things, man. You know? And I know how it is. He works like a crazy person. He's got to relax. So this makes you go into like a temporal distortion state. After you play for like 20 minutes, if like somebody calls you or something happens and you get pulled back and you remember like who you are, then, you know, you realize like, wow, I was just in like kid mode where like everything is peachy keen and I don't care. As long as I can shoot this thing in Galaga, like life is great, you know? But, you know, and I like to give some shout-outs to everybody, you know, at No Ink, of course, you know. Hey, look at that guy. Yeah. Oh, you got, like, old arcade commercials on the screensaver, if you guys are wondering what it does. It's, like, you can run the different emulators right now. I have it running MAME, so it just randomly selects a game in MAME, runs the attract mode, but then every, like, fifth game it inserts. I have, like, a big collection of the original video game commercials, like back from like the 50s or whatever. Like there's a Super Pong commercial.
Well, that's all the time we have this week. A lot of thanks to Alex for showing us this beautiful MAME creation that he's made here, and anybody listening who loves me, this is what I want for Christmas. So to press start, this is Ralph Cooper.
I'm Kyle Willen.
Big shout out to Rob Holt, and we'll talk to you guys next time. Peace.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the TL Type S with a 286-horsepower V6 and real-time traffic alerts. Learn more at Acura.com.